Hello and welcome to All About Brahma Kumaris. I hope you have enjoyed this show as much as I have. It's been wonderful sitting in this chair and listening to answers by a seasoned yogi, and I'm referring to Sister Denise, who's been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for the past 40 years. My name is Magla Pillay. I'm a judicial officer from South Africa, and today we discuss the subject of racism. Welcome, Sister Denise. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
How is racism viewed from a spiritual perspective? And what is the antidote from a spiritual perspective to racism?
First of all, let's define racism as you consider the whiter the body, the better the person. And as the body gets further towards black, then that's less and less valuable as a human being. This is racism. And this originates, oddly enough, in, you can say, religion. Because the religions, especially the ancient religions, they talk about, you know, the purity as white and impurity as black. So a pure soul has white skin and an impure soul has black skin, but that's totally body conscious. What it really means, which is also something that we learn in Brahma Kumaris, is that yes, your soul shifts from a state of absolute purity to a state of absolute impurity, and so the intensity of the light of the soul indicates the amount of, or the degree of purity. So when the light of the soul becomes very dim, there's very little light left, then the soul is dark. When the soul is really bright, full of spiritual power, then that's very illuminated. But then if it's translated to refer to your physical form, then that's where the racism came in.
Would you say that everyone who leads a spiritual life, or within all the Brahma Kumaris and Kumaris across the globe, have, by virtue of their spiritual life, overcome racism within themselves? The reason I'm asking this question is because I was given to understand whether people admit it to themselves or not, most people across the world, irrespective of the color of the skin that you are born into, whether it's my color or your color, are racist.
This is what you generally find. I was very lucky that from the youngest age I could remember, I've always thought that racism was ridiculous. So I think perhaps I may have been sort of inherently inclined towards seeing the soul for whatever reason, but I thought always since early childhood that it didn't make any sense. But it's very much part of the culture that you grow up in, you know, even in cultures where everyone is having dark skin. There's graduations between very dark and very light, and then in the Caucasian community, well, you have to be tall, thin, blonde, tan, and beautiful. So you have to be tan as well as blonde. Yeah. So, you know, in the sun, your pigment will make your skin go darker. If you're really, really white, that looks a little bit undercooked, you can say. Okay. And so so different people have different take on it. But, you know, say, for example, in South Africa, where you grew up, and I also visited South Africa, and the whole question of apartheid between the blacks, the coloreds, the whites, you know, it was very much part of the culture, the Caucasian culture, Nazism in Germany. We are the blonde, beautiful, superior race. But the origin is that, yes, spirituality says, you know, the more you are spiritual, the more you are bright. But that is not connected with the color of your skin. So you can have a person who's spiritually very bright in a dark skin, or someone who's spiritually very dark in a light skin, you know. So it doesn't follow. Your skin color corresponds with your spiritual brilliance. So I think that part of the practice of Raj Yoga is to see the soul, and the body is your car, and cars come in different colors, and there's nothing inherently wrong with a black car, or especially white cars are better, they run better than black cars. No. Red cars are more visible, so if you don't want to be seen, you should have a dull-looking car. If you do want to be seen, have a red car or a yellow car. But this is our vehicle, and it just comes in different colors, probably more according to climate than anything else. Because if you have a very pale body, you won't do well where there's very strong sun. And also you find that people, when they shift around the planet, because the color of the body is a factor of pigmentation, so people who go to places where the sun is very weak, or there's a, like you go to the very far north, then you will find that your skin color will get lighter. And if you go to places where there's very intense sun, definitely it's going to go darker. The body will adjust to local conditions.
There will be people watching this show who have been treated despicably because of their dark skins.
Mm-hmm.
And they unfortunately would be left with that legacy of pain, humiliation, trauma, neglect, all adjectives are applicable. It is exceptionally difficult to come back from that, as it is exceptionally difficult for somebody who's been violated as a child to mm-hmm. come back from that. How does one heal from such pain? Because it is, well, it started off being inflicted by from the external, mm-hmm. and at some point that human being, because of being treated so badly, started to think, I am nothing, yes. because I happen to be born with a black skin.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come back from that and heal?
In spiritual teachings, it is said, like a spiritual law, do not give sorrow, do not take sorrow. So across the board, everybody knows do not give sorrow. It's there in all of the religions and traditions and so on. But do not take sorrow, you don't hear that. And this is really the problem, is that we have taken it in. And so in a spiritual practice, we're taught, you know, you have to be seated on the seat of your self-honor. And your self-honor is determined by how you think of yourself and what you are. So I am a child of God, I am a soul, I have all the rights, I am loved, you know. You start to really internalize that, and then the sorrow that had been taken in through your life, that will come up to the surface. And you remember earlier we were talking about resistance?
Yes.
Well, that's one of the resistances. That sorrow that you took in will come up from your subconscious to your conscious mind, and it will oppose these pure ideas about the self, and it will say, no, you're not. And you have to say, excuse me, yes, I am. So you have to deal with this resistance, and it's very helpful if you understand that it is there, something that was told to you by external moral authorities. Parents, teachers, religious leaders, the media, you know, people who are in positions of power, they give you this message, and initially you are shocked by it, but after a while you internalize it. So you accept it, and you say, yeah, they must be right, I must be wrong, you know. And in that way, you betray yourself. And so we have to...
Sure, that is such a weighty statement. You betray yourself.
And so you have to come away from that, because eventually it doesn't really matter what the other people do or say, but what you do to yourself is the big thing to deal with. So we have to reverse the effect of having betrayed oneself. And so your relationship with God is gradually growing, and God will always tell you, sweet child. God will never make any reference to the color of your body. God will always address you as his sweet child, and will cherish you and care for you and restore to you your details of what you are and who you are. You're a pure soul, you're a loving soul, you have all the rights, you are mine, you're an actor. Now, this idea of being an actor in a drama is very helpful, because then you can really start thinking, okay, I'm in this costume of a color that people don't like, okay, and I am in this role, and these other actors play in, say, bad ways, and they talk to me like this or whatever, but you say, okay, it is a role in a drama, it's not the reality of me. And in that way, gradually, the sorrow that you internalized, you start putting it out, you see, because the mind will come up with these thoughts, no, I am valueless, and your intellect will say, excuse me, what are you saying? You're very valuable. Put away that thought. So it's really almost like a cosmic battle going on between the truth of God in your intellect opposing the false statements that have come from people who didn't know any better.
So this is the journey that one undertakes when one becomes a Brahmakumari Kumari.
Yes.
And how does the Brahmakumari Center support that within an individual who has come from to the center with such a history? What help is offered? Because such a person, it's very difficult to pull this off by yourself. You would need support. You would need, to some extent, external validation.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that's very important to include, to treat everybody equally, to talk about it when it comes up, because it does come up. There may be people who might be around who are racist and act in a racist way. That has to be challenged. Excuse me, what is this? Would you please apologize? What are you doing? You know, so you create a culture of seeing the soul, and you challenge any signs of the racist attitudes whenever they are represented. And then if a person is challenged about that, they're going to have to really take a look at themselves and see, you know, how did I become racist? Where does that come from? Did I absorb that attitude from my environment? Usually yes, they did. You can take sorrow when you are victimized by that, and when you are having the arrogance of being so-called superior race and start doing that negative karma, you have to pay attention on yourself and really come to terms with the fact that, yeah, you are having a real arrogance problem. You need to come down from that and get some humility.
You actually took me to my next question. Curiously, there will be people who are racist and who acknowledge within themselves, perhaps not externally, but within themselves, listen, psst, to the mirror, I think I'm racist. Okay? What would such a person do to overcome racism within themselves? We first spoke about the victim, if you want to look at it that way. Now he's speaking about the racist aggressor, who need not necessarily say or do anything externally, but she knows, hey, I am a racist. I do think light-skinned people are superior to dark-skinned people. If such a person by some magic decides is watching this program, or decides, you know, I want to lead a spiritual life. How would such a person make that shift from there to there, or there to there?
I think you have to say, okay, what am I, you know? Okay, if I say, okay, I'm a racist, what kind of statement is that? It means I'm identifying with my body. It means I'm body conscious. So if I'm trying to be soul conscious, you can't be body conscious and soul conscious at the same time. If you see, okay, this attitude of racism is purely and simply body consciousness, I need to step away from that. Then they need to make the effort. You know, some people, they have sanskaras. This word sanskara comes up again. They have tendencies, they have habits which are really very negative, but they have a hard time getting rid of them. So they have to really work on it, sometimes for years together, to become free from it. And if a person says, okay, I am committed to come out of this negative habit, and I don't care what it costs, and I don't care how long it takes, but this is what I'm going to do. They have this determination, and they just go and do it. And whatever it costs, they pay. Whatever time it takes, they take. And that's tapasya.
It takes an exceptional person to embark on that journey, is it not? Because you need a lot of self-honesty to say to yourself, I am a racist.
Well, I think it's not that it takes an exceptional person, but that you become an exceptional person by doing that.
Oh, nice distinction. Very nice distinction. How does the Brahma Kumaris go about redressing imbalances that are caused by racism outside the spiritual family? Do you do community outreach programs with that specific topic in mind? Do you work with people? Do you address this head on? How do you how do you help people who you said earlier in another segment that not all who come to the Brahma Kumaris become fully fledged members? And then if you're invited to give a talk at a school, for example, in the middle of the Congo in Africa or Namibia, for example, how would you address this issue?
Well, I haven't been in those two particular places, so I'm not sure that in advance I could tell you, because I have to really feel the people and feel the situation. But I was in Soweto. And Soweto
For those of you who do not know that, what Soweto is or where it is, Soweto is the black township in Johannesburg, and it had made headlines in 1976 when there was a massive black uprising against the white apartheid government, and there were people who were killed as a result of that. And in South Africa, June 16th is still celebrated as Youth Day to honor the children whose lives were lost that day due to their struggle against apartheid. So, Sister Denise, Soweto.
So I went to Soweto, and I was with a relatively small group of people. It was either in a school or a community center, and we just started talking about it, you know, the whole question of how, you know, what racism is, and seeing the soul and all of this. And it was a really very nice and a memorable exchange that I had with a group of people. And really, I think the thing that's important is where you have the soul-to-soul contact. It's a very different feeling than it's body-to-body, you know, white person to black person. When you have soul-to-soul, the color of your body fades into the background, you know. And so that was a very good experience for me. In London, we have a very multi-racial, multicultural gathering. It's a huge city, and so there are many people of different colors, different racial, religious, etc. backgrounds who attend these centers in London. And so very much the people who are interested in the question of racism will participate in programs where we really talk about it. And that's, I think, a very good thing, and talking about the soul and the body, it's different. And it creates that friendship where you really don't see the body. You know, another place I've been to where it's different is Brazil. So in Brazil, the people who were there from Africa didn't experience the same thing as the blacks in America or the blacks under the white governments in Africa. So the blacks in Brazil are very integrated. It's a very interesting thing. They did come as slaves, and many bought their freedom and became nicely integrated. The black community in US is again different. Again, I had a lot of interaction with blacks in Los Angeles, where, you know, there's a tension. There's a lot of racism in USA, and I particularly go out of my way to make myself able to interact with any community. And what I found is that in LA, there's a street system for the blacks. There's a street system for the Asians. There's a street system for the white. It's like they use different roads. It's amazing.
They use different roads.
They use different roads, yes. Because, for example,
I have
one brother, a very good friend of mine, and he would take me from North LA to South LA, and he would use a different street system. And I'd go with my Filipino friends, and they would use a different street system to go from the same place to the same place. And so there are areas. Los Angeles is like a jigsaw puzzle, where each piece of the puzzle is a different color, depending on, you know, who lives there. So it's not at all integrated. And I was quite surprised to see how there is really these kind of different street systems, the different levels on which people operate. Wonder.
Yeah. There are people who, because of being treated very, very badly by people of a lighter skin color, who now have in their hearts a very deep, deep antagonistic, venomous hatred towards lighter skin people,
mm-hmm.
especially in countries where they were told decade in and decade out, you are worth nothing mm-hmm. because you're dark skinned.
Mm-hmm.
It does not take a degree in psychology or somebody who's been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for 40 years to understand that that level of venom within your heart can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how would you help somebody who has been so poisoned, and who's spreading the poison to his children because of his own experiences?
Again, I think you have to talk about it. You have to spend time so that they can, you know, people can know each other. There's a lot of reconciliation needed. There's a lot of, pain that has to be grieved. One of the experiences I've had, not just only between black-white like this, but in the Balkans, where recently there was a war, very, very severe war, between Serbians, Croats, Slavs, all of this area, where people are all the same color. Some are Christian, some are Muslim, and the antagonism between different tribes, if you will, goes back a long, long way. And so the healing from those conflicts and the prejudice that was engendered through the reaction to all of the atrocities that took place, that takes a lot of time to heal. But I think that the spiritual component, the spiritual attitude, when you bring it in and you bring people together from different communities and really speak about it, that is a healing process.
Mm. I see. So Denise, I find it very, very tragic and sad that the world has become such a place where people are treated with such malice and hate simply because their vehicles, as you so nicely put it, are different to other lighter vehicles. It is one of the most obvious illnesses mm-hmm. of our times, and it's there has to be a cure.
Well, to me, the cure is the consciousness, the change of consciousness, and the change of vision, and it has to be done one person at a time. Because a person who is completely free from racism, they're influential. A person who's completely racist, they're influential. Which influence is more powerful? It depends on the individual.
There you have it, a subject of racism, and specifically how spirituality offers an antidote to racism. I hope you found today's talk informative. I certainly did. And as usual, Sister Denise has left me with a lot of food for thought. If you watched today's show, I would ask you two things. To ask yourself, are you a victim of racism? And are you somebody who considers people to be inferior to you because of skin color? Whichever category you fall into, it's not cast in stone. Your attitude can change towards yourself and towards fellow men. This world belongs to all of us, and each person is entitled to their day in the sun, as it were, irrespective of their skin color. I really hope that today's show will help you change your life in some way. We thank you for joining us, and goodbye.